a great little story that Jesus tells. I think it always helps with parables if we can kind of visualize it a little bit in our minds. So there's a judge in this particular city, and in Jesus's day, there were kind of different sorts of judges for different kinds of things. Often a local leader of a community, not necessarily appointed by the state, perhaps somebody just very well respected in the area. Depends on the circumstance and the situation. We're not entirely sure of the setting here. But it's a widow who goes to him. As you probably know, in Jesus's day, widows were particularly vulnerable. It was a male-dominated society, so women were struggling to begin with, and this woman who has lost her husband has probably lost a large ability to be able to earn a wage and to work in the little farmstead, if that's what she had, or maybe her husband was something like a carpenter or earned a little money. She's lost that, and in addition to losing that, there's some wrong that she's faced. Maybe it's a financial loss. Maybe there's a neighbor who's causing her difficulty. We don't know the situation. It doesn't matter what the situation is, but this poor woman's got it from both ends, as it were. Not only has her husband died, but now someone else has wronged her. And quite rightly, she wants justice in her distress. And she goes to the judge. Unfortunately, the judge is somebody. There's this wonderful description in verse 2. A man who does not fear God nor regard man. I actually think that's a very strong description of very, very many people in today's society. And if you perhaps want to know why our society is the way that it is, then actually that description of people goes a long way to helping us to understand that. In other words, why do people behave the way they do? Many people, perhaps, even though our hearts might be a little bit selfish or our hearts might not necessarily want to do the right thing, because we fear God, we might do the right thing anyway, mightn't we? Because we don't want God to judge us. So because we fear God and we've got a conscience, we might do the right thing, even when really, in some ways, we don't really want to do it. Do you know what I mean? Those are people who fear God. And there maybe are other people who really care about what other people think of them. And they wouldn't want other people to think of them as selfish. They wouldn't want other people to think of them as immoral or that kind of thing. So therefore, even though perhaps they'd like to pursue a certain course of action, they don't do it because they fear what other people would think of them. Those are people who fear men. And in British society, up until relatively recently, most people, speaking generally of course, feared God. They did have a conscience, they were instructed by the Bible and so on, and to a large extent they feared men as well. They cared about what their neighbours thought, and they wouldn't have want other people to have thought of them as immoral or what have you. And nowadays we've lost both of those things in large extent, haven't we? And many people now will say, I don't care what anyone else thinks, this is what I'm going to do. And certainly many people would say, I don't care what God thinks, I don't even believe in God. And therefore, so many, many, many people just do their own thing. And that's one of the reasons why society is the way that it is today. That's a by the way. But this judge was unusual in his day for taking that attitude. He didn't fear God, and he didn't care about what anyone else thought. He was just going to do his own thing no matter what. Well, how is this poor lady going to get justice from a man like that? Well, he doesn't give her justice, beginning of verse 4, but by the end of verse 5, he has given her justice. What's changed? Well, she's continually, end of verse 5, coming back to the courts and wearying him. She's not it seems, berating him. She's not gone round with a big stick saying, give me justice or else. Okay, that would have probably put him off altogether. But every day or every week, however often the court or the judgment seat meets, there she is pleading her case again. And he's got to dismiss it. And then the next week or the next day she comes again and again and again and again and again. And in the end, the only way to get rid of her is to give her what she's asked for. That's what the unjust judge does. Now, it's completely wrong, of course, all right? The judge should judge on the merits of the case, not on how he's feeling and what he wants, not just to give himself a break. He should judge on the merits of the case, but he doesn't do that. He gives her what he wants just to shut her up and to give himself some peace. That's the unjust judge. Now, what's all that got to do with praying, is the question, isn't it? And we're told in verse 7 that Jesus now says, well, that's the unjust judge. Now let me tell you about God. And his point, very simply, is this. If the widow's persistence gives her justice from an unjust God, unjust judge, how much more will our persistence give us justice from the just God? That's the point. If the widow's persistence gives her justice from an unjust God, how much more will our persistence give us justice from the just judge of the whole world? God, in other words, will give justice to his elect who cry out day and night to him. And you can see, actually, the very beginning of the chapter of Luke chapter 18 helps us to understand what the parable is about, that this is a parable that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. You see, the woman in this story could have lost heart. I'm never going to get justice. And the implication is that actually we can be like that as well, can't we? We can often think, well, I'm never... Perhaps I've been praying for this for days, for weeks, for months, for years, sometimes for decades. But we ought not lose heart. Why ought we not lose heart? Well, we're told here that the Lord bears long with them. Can you see that at the end of verse 7? He bears long with them. Now here's the real irony within the story. Okay, here's the irony within the story that we must understand. We must get this bit. The unjust judge was impatient. Yeah? He was fed up, in other words, with a woman coming again and again. I can't put up with this any longer. He was impatient. He was impatient. The woman got this sooner rather than later. It took a little while at the beginning, but perhaps not as long as it would have done had he been unjust and patient. But he's impatient. He's impatient, so the woman gets justice relatively quickly. God, of course, is not impatient at all, is he? God is wonderfully patient. And here's the irony. Because God is better than the unjust judge, because God does what is right, and he doesn't respond just out of impatience, we may have to wait longer for justice than this widow had to last. Does that make sense? Because God is patient, he's not just going to say, oh, I'm fed up with so-and-so praying again and again and again. I'm just going to give them what they want just to shut them up. God's never going to do that. When God answers our prayers, he'll always answer our prayers in exactly the right way at exactly the right time. That's what he'll always do. That's what he'll always do. He'll never be impatient. I'll just give them what they want regardless. He'll never do that. And because God is patient, then we may well have to wait longer for answers to our prayer than we might expect. And having to wait longer does mean that sometimes we will lose heart. Do you know that feeling of losing heart when you're praying? Giving up almost on God, at least for a season. We're not to do that. We're to remember God is patient. And because God is patient, then of course in our praying we have to be patient too. We have to bear long with our praying. Sometimes of course we'll get an answer straight away to praying, but other times we may have to wait a long, long time. Which brings us to verse 8 then. I tell you that he will give justice to his people speedily. Well, hang on a minute, that doesn't seem to make sense, does it? We've just been told that the elect have to cry out day and night to God. We've just been told that he bears long with them, and now we're told that he'll give justice speedily. How does that make sense? It seems to contradict the earlier verse. Until, of course, you remember verses such as, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years a day. The Lord will give justice speedily. In other words, he will give justice at exactly the right time. He'll never do that. He'll never be late in giving justice. Never. He'll never be late in giving you what he wants to give you. He'll never be late in doing that. Never. He'll always give us what we need at exactly the right moment. Never, ever late. Does that mean we'll always get everything exactly when we want it? Well, no. But it does mean we'll get everything exactly when it's best for us to have it, and when it does us and others most good. And this is what we have to balance, of course, isn't it? You see, it would almost be, you can almost read this and think, well, I wish I had an unjust judge who I could just wear down and get what I want just through keeping going and yeah, you can have that just to shut you up. But of course, when we do stop and think, we realize, oh, it's far better, isn't it, to be patient, to keep going, to trust in the Lord, and to know, therefore, that when the answer comes, it's exactly the right answer at exactly the right time. And that's what we mustn't lose heart about. And the parable then finishes with this challenge. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So what's that challenge got to do with our parable? Well, of course, we need faith to pray, don't we? And we particularly need faith to keep on praying, even when it seems we don't have an answer. You don't need that much faith to pray one prayer once, do you? Well, I'll try that, see if I get an answer, and so be it. All right? Well, I do, I don't. You don't need much faith for that. To pray to not get an answer and then to pray the same thing the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next month and the next year and the next decade, you actually need an awful lot of faith to keep praying. Faith in what? Well, faith in a God who answers prayer. Faith in a God whose timing is perfect. Faith in a God who gives good gifts to his children. Faith in a God who doesn't hold back his goodness and mercy. Faith in a God who knows what's best for us better than we know ourselves. Faith in a God who can see everything much more than we can, and therefore knows when the right time is better than we do. Faith in a God who's planned all this out from the beginning. You've got to believe, really believe, in all of that to keep on praying and praying and praying and praying for the things that the Bible suggests we pray for, even when we're not getting answers to those prayers. And the challenge, as you can see, is, well, when Jesus comes, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? And that's a good question to ask ourselves, isn't it? When Jesus returns from heaven, from our perspective, Will he find people who are praying, who believe, who trust? We've got to examine our own hearts here, haven't we? And of course, even as we're looking at verse 8, we realize here that here is a prayer that God's people have been praying, not just for weeks and months, not just for years or even decades, but here is a prayer that people have been praying for centuries and millennia. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And really, in some ways, that's at least a large part of what this is pointing us to. That's the one big unanswered prayer of every Christian believer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come and bring justice. We live in this sinful world, and the wicked, Lord, are getting away with their wickedness. Look around at what's happening. The rich in many places are getting richer, and the poor are getting poorer. People are being raped and murdered. Property is not being respected. In many parts of the world, there are wars and famines because of greed and selfishness, and thousands, perhaps millions of people are dying through the selfishness of others. And God's people are praying, come, Lord Jesus, put an end to that. Bring justice to the earth. And what do we find? Crying out night and day, God's people are. And as yet, not an answer to that question. Millennia have gone by, and not yet an answer to that question. You see, it's easy, isn't it, to pray, to not pray, and lose heart. I wonder when the last time you or I prayed, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. When did we last pray for that? Or maybe is it we've already lost heart in praying for this greatest thing of all, the return of the Lord Jesus to this earth? Maybe it's already been so long, we've already almost given up praying. But no, we are to cry out night and day to the Lord, not just, of course, that the Lord Jesus would come, though I certainly believe from the Scriptures we should pray for that. We should pray for the needs of the church. We'll share some of them later on. We should pray for our non-Christian friends and family members to be converted. We should pray that the gospel would move speedily around the earth. But ultimately, all of those things are contributing to and pointing to the one great thing, the Lord Jesus coming back. Do we long for that as the Lord bears long with us? Do we pray for him to return? And when he comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Will he find people who, like those other parables that we have, who have been working and seeking and looking for him? I pray that he will, and he will find those things even here in Clydach.